Does anyone want to say hi?
Good morning. This is Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, how are you?
Okay, I'm here.
That's a good thing.
It is.
Anyone else? Wow, just you and me this morning, Mary Lou.
I guess so. Did you listen?
Hi,
Oh, hi, Elaine.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Jeannie's here, too. Good.
Hi, Jeannie.
Good morning. I couldn't reach my phone in time to unmute it.
Oh, Jeannie, were you on Vance's call Saturday, or who was?
I was. That was great.
I tried my best to get that the address down to the man that was going to work on the body balancers, but there was a lot
of... I have
it. Do you good.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Okay, what is it?
Well, let me find my notes right here.
Okay. Well, I was looking back to mine. I just wanted to ask quick before they got into something else because I wanted to check on that.
Yeah.
I have it, if you can.
Do you have it, Betty, too?
I do.
Okay. If you have it right there, go ahead. I'm flipping through my notes.
Okay. It's the right track.
Say that first. What's the first word? I could never understand him. The or what?
T-H-E. Right. R-I-G-H-T.
Good morning, sir.
Has arrived.
The next one is tracks. T-R-A-C-K-S. Did you get that, Mary Lou?
Yes.
Okay, and it's at Comcast.net.
I had gotten that part, but I didn't know what the first part, because I could never understand the V. So it's T-H-E, the right tracks.
That's correct.
At Comcast.net, and just ask him to give you some information about sending it in for repair.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Char.
Morning.
Sounds like you're off to a good start there.
Just trading a little information. That's what we're good at here, huh?
Yeah. Good morning, Jeannie and Mary Lou and Betty. And I heard you called. Denny just told me that a couple of minutes ago.
Has arrived.
Last night, Jeannie.
Yeah, I'll call you. I'll talk to you after the call if I can for a minute.
That's fine. That's perfect.
Cool.
Who else wants to say hi?
Good morning. This is Onita.
Good morning, Onita. Well, I got a totally different topic than I've ever given any thought to, really, to say the least, that I can think of. Not anything serious. I mean, yeah, we've had a couple little kitchen fires, you know, where there was a blaze on something that made a big stink that we threw the doors open wide. But all I know is that since I don't do any cooking with animal products, when I do something for the dogs, it's just about enough to asphyxiate me. And that's only boiling in a pressure cooker because I'm not really using oils. So anyway, this is one I tried to get read all through so I could sound a little smoother, but I didn't. So please bear with me because the only way I can do justice to it is to read it to you. If you don't mind, it's called The Big City Haze in Your Kitchen. Cooking can create pollution, major pollution, and we're not going to be that group that they're talking about, obviously. At least whoever's on the call is being pretty clean about how they're eating. But it will certainly apply for our extended families, I'm sure, at least parts of them, and others around us that would probably be horrified at the thought of what they're breathing. Scientists scientists study the effectiveness of venting to improve air quality inside our homes. By mid-morning, the smell of peanut oil dissipated, and inside the tightly sealed laboratory known as Building 51E, a pink hamburger sizzled in the pan over a raging gas flame. Overhead fans whirled, whisking caustic smoke up through the metallic esophagus of ductwork. Woody Delp, 49, long-haired engineer in glasses, the Willie Nelson of HVAC, supervised the green bean and hamburger experiment. He sat at a computer inside a kitchen simulator, rows upon rows of numeric data appearing on his screen, ticking the constituents of the flume sucked up by the flu. A seared hamburger patty, as he sees it, just as a reliable source for indoor pollution. I can claim Alice Walters influenced the recipe, he said. It's all fresh and local, but Delp and his colleagues aren't really interested in testing recipes. They are scientists at the Energy Department's Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory, National Laboratory in Berkeley, California, of course. And the morning's experiment, another kitchen, a fight against physics, how to remove harmful contaminants caused by cooking. Simply put, cooking is an act of controlled combustion. You set fire. You set oil, fat, and carbohydrates on fire. As a health hazard, incinerating hamburgers and green beans may pale in comparison with lighting wood or coal fires indoors. The leading environmental cause of death and disability around the world. Yet frying, grilling, or toasting foods with gas and electrical appliances creates particulate matter, nitrogen dioxide, carbon monoxide, and carbon dioxide, and volatile organic compounds, I'm not going to go through them, which most cooks recognize as the smell of burnt fats or oils, was used in grenades in World War I because it causes irritation to the lungs and eyes. It gets much better, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, cooking causes much of indoor smog. Emissions of nitrogen dioxide in homes with gas stoves exceed the Environmental Protection Agency's definition of clean air. An estimated 55% to 70% of those homes, according to one model. A quarter of them have air quality worse than the worst recorded smog nitrogen dioxide event in London. So that is putting it to the worst that ever took place
Wow. In
the world. Cooking represents one of the largest contributors, generating particulate matter formerly known as PM2.5 at concentrations four times greater than the major haze events in Beijing.
Oh, jeez.
Because we're used to the smell, we don't think of it as an issue, said Jennifer M. Logue, 32, an air quality engineer at Berkeley Lab. When you live in a small building, you cook a lot and don't use your range hood, which may not be very effective anyway, and you're probably going to have a problem with pollutants from cooking. Let's see, I've got to get to the right column here. I've got a jumbled up article. Recently, Logue estimated the long-term health effects expected from hundreds of chemicals found in average homes per 2012 study published in Environmental Health Perspectives used a common epidemiological metric known as disability adjusted life year to show the population-wide health impact of indoor pollutants is on a par with that of car accidents and greater than that of traditional concerns like secondhand smoke or radon. It's well over violence, she said. It's not a small risk. indoor pollution lacks oversight. Federal policy and financing tends to focus on research outdoors, air quality, drinking water, wastewater, hazardous waste sites, and soil contamination. We haven't had that regulatory driver for the indoor environment, and yet the indoor environment is probably the most important environment in terms of human health, said Richard L. Corsi, an engineer and professor at the University of Texas at Austin. If you look at just the dose of toxic chemicals we take into our bodies during our lifetime that are of environmental origin, it's dominated by the air that we breathe and the surfaces that we touch indoors, Corsi said. The Berkeley Lab's research is driven in part by renewed efforts to tighten building envelopes and save on energy costs. Airtight buildings keep outdoors out, but they also trap contaminants. Efforts to mask odors, incense, candles, and air fresheners exuberate the hazards. After all, indoor combustion creates more pollutants that linger in tightly sealed spaces, and formaldehyde, for example, is formed when ozone reacts with gases, especially scented agents, plug-ins, air fresheners, and cleaners. Setting hazards for kitchen ventilation. Since people aren't likely to stop cooking, the lab aims to come up with science-based ventilation standards. People don't need to radically change their lifestyles, Logue said. We need to change the building code so that everyone gets a venting range hood. Currently, ventilation standards, the H in HVAC, represent a best engineering judgment. There's never been much science involved in determining how well range hoods and other ventilation systems work in terms of human health. Existing metrics for performance, most notably the Energy Star rating, measure energy use, not the impact of appliances on human health. And while it's difficult to rid a home of the semi-volatile organic compounds that leak out of, say, a couch after a long period of time, volatile compounds from fire and water vapor can be removed with an effective kitchen fan. A lot of homes don't have that, said Brett Singer, the lab's director. Secondly, a lot of ones do, people don't use them. And thirdly, even if they have it, and even if they use it, a lot of them don't work very well. Okay. While tested, I'm getting to the end, guys. When they tested 7 commercially available range hood designs, Singer and Delp found that the airflow and the amount of burner exhaust and cooking contaminants whisked away the so-called capture of efficiency varied from 15% to 98%. Singer refers to recirculating hoods only somewhat jokingly as forehead greasers. Inside the kitchen simulator, fresh air would shed through the room, an exchange rate of about 12 times per hour, nearly 40 times the amount circulated in an average home. But the experiment hadn't generated much appetite. One lab assistant passed on the burgers because she is a vegetarian. And the other, Marcella, a science teacher, admitted to having packed the lunch. Singer is optimistic that the new scientific standards might even change habits inside actual homes. We want people to cook, he said. The health of America will probably get better. We just want to make sure all those pollutants, vapors, and moisture from the cooking get vented outside. How many of you use a fan every day for every meal that goes on the stove?
I have not.
I don't either.
I
I do not.
Yeah.
Did not until I read this, and it's been turned on every time.
Yeah.
I don't like the noise of it.
Yeah, I know. That's it. It's noise.
Mm-hmm. It's noise pollution to me. And I don't know how effective it is. It doesn't vent it out. Mine does not vent outside. It's probably one of those carbon filters. But, you know, we've heard for many, many, many years that the pollution inside our houses is much worse than outside, which you just read about. I mean, that just reinforces it. I remember years and years and years ago, I was typing somebody's master thesis for her, and she would always come Sunday night to go over what got done and to give me more. This woman would walk in my door and literally reek, horribly reek, from frying. So I can't imagine what her house smells like, because it just permeated, probably was in her clothes, and whether it was coming out of her cells or not, I don't know. But it was horrible. I never liked the smell of fried anyway. And, you know, how do you tell somebody to change their clothes before they walk in your house? Or anyway.
I've had the same thing, and even driving by some of these places that vent, the commercial places that vent outside, is enough to gag your stomach. When we had, fairly clean air, especially, you really, really notice it. And when we come out of the country where we live, we notice it more. And like I said, we're singing to the choir here, because even without the fan, guys, and I know, Jeannie, you've got gas. I don't know who else that might have gas. I almost put gas in. I'm glad I went to the induction. You know, we're not cooking with the stuff that's putting it in the air like what they're talking about. But, you know, how many of our kids are? Maybe not to the extent of the average population. Let's hope not. But, you know, they're around it, and they're in other people's homes, and our kids are very social, going in and out of other people's homes for meals and everything else. I mean, they don't probably live the average life, you know, the average style that others do in more metro areas, where they're more, you know, just into their own family and the hubble and double of busyness and family with their own. But I was appalled when I read the level of pollution. And that's not just off of gas, guys. That's off of anything electrical, too. So
that's what I was thinking. And I can't stand that either.
Yeah, and the van, I will tell you that most of the vending system is no good, because that's what Denny installed and what is allowed according to code, and probably all over the United States the same way, is not worth a diddle stick. I mean, these apartment houses and the things that he vented, I mean, it was a joke. You might as well just stick a register over a hole and call it a fan. And then, like everybody agreed with, we're not using them. You know, what's it going to take to turn that around? What is the percentage of contribution of that to the diseases that we're dealing with because of the increase of obesity? And that means more people are doing more of that kind of stuff. You know, it's just, you listen to the people at Oz interviews and how they eat, when they're up there in front of them. I mean, you know, golly, what's it going to take? How long, how many years is it going to be before there's really something that you see happen with it?
Has left the conference.
So anyway,
I've got one son and his wife that are heavy, isn't so much, but our son is a heavy freak too.
It just, it makes you hurt. I mean, I just, the ordeals this weekend, I got volatile with more than one person, and I know what it was stemmed from, because I read this a couple days ago. And my mood was, like, just right on the edge, and I got really, really nasty with one of the guys that walked in. I just told him, I said, you know what? Your stupidity are going to cost you your life. You're about to have toes or feet amputated. Look at the way you're walking. Look at what you look like. Look at what you look like in movement. Why don't you stop what you're doing and making your body 10 times worse? This is absolute stupidity. And he just looked at me. I mean, he came to get water. He just looked at me. There was water all over the floor. When he left, he wanted out of here, I think. I said, and then he started in on a subject that's political. And I said, that is the stupidest. I'm not even going to use the language I said. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why don't you just get on your motorcycle, drive back to Washington, D.C., strap a bomb to your body and go in and go out with a flame and make a big headline for yourself. I mean, I was really upset realizing what he was doing and, you know, playing with death. I mean, very apparent, very soon, not down the road. And I said, you know, you got more brains in your head than that. And I said, he looked at me and his eyes just got huge. And I said, I didn't get this. I said, you started the whole conversation by saying that you were cutting back on lighting one stogie after another and sticking it between your lips and sucking it in. I said, that is absolute stupidity in the condition you're in. And I said, who's ever talked to you this way? He was nobody. I said, well, do you think they really care? And he goes, I know why you're doing it, Sean. I said, good. I'm glad you understand me.
It goes back
and
to when
I went,
we, they do.
Huh?
It goes
what?
Back to when we care more than they do. Oz had a Joan Rivers and her daughter on, and he asked both of them a question. What would the other say is your worst thing about you? And Melissa, her daughter, knew that Joan was going to say that I smoke. And Oz said, I'm not going to torment you about this. I'm not going to yell at you for it. He showed Melissa two lungs, a healthy one and a smoker's lung. And she was, I mean, she, that really had an impact on her. And he said to Melissa, do you love yourself enough to do this? And, you know, it's a matter of really putting yourself first before you're going to change what you're doing.
You know, if he walked out the door, I did not copy that because I didn't think I needed it. But anyway, and you know, afterwards with the illustration he used, I wished I had him. But as he walked through the door, you know, I said to him, I said, I'm going to say the words that I heard yesterday at church. And I heard these exact same words delivered by a neurosurgeon in our organization when he first started, and I said, if you want to die inch by inch and suffer, and it means more for you to stick that thing between your lips and add to it and make it worse, I said, then you go right ahead. But all I'm going to ask you is, do you want to be well, or is it better to just die the way you're going to die if you keep on going down this path? And I said, that's what the neurosurgeon asked. That's what the man standing behind the pulpit asked. And I said, that's what I'm asking you. I mean, I can't make you do anything. It's just like you said, lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. But I said, I told him earlier, I said, you know, if I don't say and speak my truth, I'm wondering if there's something, I will always wonder if there's something I could have said stronger that would have maybe encouraged you to move that direction and then take responsibility for it. I said, that's what I will have to live with if I don't empty out what's in my heart now, in my mind right now. I'll always wonder if there was something I could have said more. I dumped it. You know, the whole thing's out there now. I said it as strong in the kind of language he'd probably be used to hearing. I mean, not that bad, but I would, there's only a portion that I would go. It was just slang, guys. I don't swear. And I wouldn't use the Lord's name in vain. But I was really, really upset when I saw him. So anyway, that was part of the event of my weekend, guys, but kind of set me on fire, and literally. And on a more positive, anybody else have any contributions you'd like to make to that subject?
It's just really frustrating when it's somebody you care about, and they just, I mean, know how addicting these things are. And you know, maybe you can't do it by yourself, but, and maybe you won't do it for yourself, but you'll do it for those, if you have family.
Yeah, he has nobody, and that's the other reason. I mean, there's nobody that is going to take an interest. I said, get your butt out there. Get it out into that barn. Get something else going in your life. Help Danny get that trailer finished off so you can at least have a place to shower instead of our pond down on our property. I said, literally, there is no excuse for this. I said, you've got a brilliant mind. I said, some of the stuff you've come up with is incredible. And I said, this is absolute ridiculous for you to waste your life the way you're wasting it because whatever, because you've got an addiction. I said, there's ways around that. And, you know, you can start thinking of how to do it. And he goes, well, when I get someplace, what am I supposed to do? I said, talk to somebody. Make a new friend. Just get out of, you know, get out of yourself. And he does. I mean, he can carry on a great conversation. He's done it with me many times in the kitchen here.
Or volunteer help.
Yeah,
that makes you feel
has arrived.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It makes you really feel good when you volunteer and help somebody.
Yeah, and I've heard him say that, you know, because he's done. He went and bought meals for people.
Yeah.
When they didn't have money. I mean, he's not without funds to be able to do it. I said, take that crap and bury it in your backyard. I'm not burying it. He says, I got $300 sitting there in cookies. And I said, well, then sell them. You want somebody else to have the problem you've got? I said, no. I said, yeah, anyway, I would not take no for an answer as long as he was standing there and listening to me. And he really didn't rush to get out of here. In fact, I gave him food to take with him and he thanked me. And so I don't know. I don't know how it will be received long term, whether it'll make any difference or not. But I got it off my chest and did feel better afterwards. So then, you know, keep
it. Well, you're good. You tried.
I tried, yes. I tried. I tried to help somebody else in a way that somebody helped me years and years ago with my weight to get it back in line, and the doctor didn't know a lot of the things that I needed to know, but then I was willing to learn and search out. I didn't want to yo-yo. I did not want to yo-yo up and down, up and down. And when I found what, you know, the bottom line of what we were all looking for that we could grab onto and realize what it was in our foods that we were putting in, you know, that was causing it. And we go on finding more. We go on finding more things that, you know, we can utilize. Here's a transitional food, and you guys might want to Google it. I've got it, a copy of it. I printed it out on paper. I don't know how well it will scan to send. I will try and experiment with that today. But it's a chicken substitute, and it would be a transitional food. It's a chicken substitute. It's called Beyond Meat. I mentioned that. I didn't realize there was such a write-up in the paper by our vegan chef who, you know, I didn't read the whole thing to know what all the ingredients were. Let's see. So what's Beyond Meat? It's a new plant-based meat substitute made out of soy and pea proteins along with amaranth and carrots and processed seasoned in a way that mimics the texture and taste of chicken breast meat. It's so much like chicken that New York Times food columnist Mark Bittman couldn't tell the difference when he tried it for the first time last year. Whole Foods Market began, pardon?
No, I just said wow.
Oh, okay. Whole Foods Market, now here's what I was getting to. I haven't been able to find it here in the stores yet, even in the nutrition centers. Whole Foods Market began offering Beyond Meat and it's prepared deli salads. Oh, that's interesting. And it's salad bars last year. And earlier this year, it began selling the seasoned strips in packages. This fall, it will become available in most conventional grocery stores with plans to take it nationwide next year. And that's when Brown hopes to he can persuade mainstream consumers, not just vegans and vegetarians, to begin using it instead of chicken as part of their regular meat routine and on meatless Mondays. They're really pushing meatless Mondays, guys. Term that
so it sounds like it's more on the West Coast right now.
Well, Whole Foods is central. It's Texas, so I don't know. That's where it's based and where they operate out of. It's a super clean source. It's a super clean source of protein. There's no cholesterol, trans fat, saturated, no antibiotics, no hormones. There's no risk of avian flu. There's no risk of mad cow disease. So why wouldn't you choose this? He says, we want to force that question by being that good.
If you think about it, the engineers that are manufacturing food in a lab could say the same thing.
Right. Yeah, they can't. That's why I said transitional food.
Yeah.
You know, not something we want to be utilizing. But when you go to a potluck and you've got to take something that people are going to say, oh, well, it doesn't have any meat in it. It's not going to be anything I'd want to eat, you know, like to eat or taste or whatever. You know, whatever goes through their minds to cause them to, you know, kind of shun veggies, then that one could stand out. It's kind of like what I remember, Nancy, I remember, what was her name? Cheryl McWilliams saying, I always have this made up for when my dad comes because he hates not having his meat. And that was the... I think like the Morningstar meatballs that she would, I mean the ground stuff that she would make into meatballs. She says, I always have this on hand because my dad just thinks it's wonderful and he thinks he's kissing meat and I let him think it. Or something like that, she said. I don't remember how she ended it.
She's pretty about what she ate, that's for sure.
She what?
She's very staunch about what she eats.
Yes, she is. And, but, you know, she'll bend the rules to try and attract family members or somebody else get into the thing. I did that with the fudge, by the way, over the weekend, and I got to work on it again. I know I can get a better texture and a better flavor, and I think I can use either raisin paste or prune paste. At least I'm going to try it. I've got it too dry when I use just the cocoa instead of the bark, and I was trying to really give people an option if they really wanted to do it without the starting with the chocolate, because I heard Elaine say ours has hydrogenated stuff in it, our dark chocolate at the stores, and ours does not. I mean, you know, they can't pass a lot of that stuff won't pass off at all around here. At least to a portion of the population. I'm not saying we're there by any means, but we do have a pretty good percentage of the population that, you know, compared to other parts of the country that are aware and really fighting. I mean, they're, you know, we got some real ballistics around here. It's like when I went to the, dinner that shoot, I guess it's been 2 years ago now. Was 250 people, and they had to use a high school to have the Thanksgiving dinner in, and they looked at you like you didn't have any clothes on with a paper plate and a paper napkin and a plastic fork. Oh my gosh. I mean, you were just like, what planet did you come off of, lady? And I mean, it was so obvious. And we sat down at the table with it, and it was the first time we'd, you know, been to a big function, or, you know, one of them. And I'm going, good grief. So, I will admit, it's a little bit different now. So, those people attracted, and then just looking at the size of the group that one couple were able to put together for climate Brian Clement when he was here from the institute down there in Florida. I mean, from 70 to 80 for the first year, the second year it was 150, and then it was 250. I mean, that's a pretty healthy increase. And like I say, it was one couple that put it together, so it wasn't a whole, I mean, I know they, you know, got some advertisement through some of the groups, but still, it was their baby. There is a recipe attached for that chicken substitute, and it's called, what's it called? I put it on the back here somewhere. Chinese chicken, in quotation, salad. Makes 12 servings, so there you go, all set for a potluck. It doesn't look, there's more in the dressing than there is in the recipe that you blend up. And it is calling for oil, which I would cut way, way back. I would use one of Furman's ideas and just, you know, adjust the some of the other ingredients in it. You can make it clean and taste really good. Have any of you used any of the Furman dressings along with your salads when we've done them or I've given them?
I haven't made it in a while. It was made with nuts. Almonds, maybe? Or cashews. But the things out of the Eat to Live book, my favorite one, I think, is the one I like, the Caesar dressing.
Yes.
But there's another one. I've given away my book, and I haven't replaced it yet, so I don't remember the name of it.
Has left the conference.
I got him through Amazon if you want me to bring one with me. And I, oh, my gosh, we're way past time. Bring one with me, Jeannie. So I think I got $2 or $3 off on him. I have to look it up.
Okay.
On the paperbacks, you know, the one that's got, the newer one that's got all the testimonies in. I laid it down and one of the gals picked one of mine up and took it with her. And that was my reason for having some extra copies, so I've got an extra one here.
Okay. I'd like to have extras, too, because I do like to give it as well.
Yeah. So it's a good introduction, and the fudge, I got 2 out of 3 families as the takers. You know, it was the husbands that jumped in and grabbed it and said, hey, I can handle this fudge. And I said, oh, this is not that good. It's crumbly. It's, you know, I didn't like it because I knew it could be better, much better. So I will work on that again, if not today, tomorrow. So, and see what I can put together so we can get that out. Because I know it's a draw, you know, it's something that, and to say, you know, hey, you only need 1 square of this. And I think you'll find that you aren't getting called for more and more and more. And it was like you said, Jeannie, it's easy to take 1 square and that's it. And it's a small square. It's not a very big square. So you're getting practically nothing as far as anything that's going to be a contraactive, other than if you don't agree on chocolate having some value when it's just the cocoa powder.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's delicious.
Guys,
I'm still eating my batch that I made 2 weeks ago. Of course, it's only been me here, so it's a good thing I didn't eat it all yet.
Yeah, well, the youngest of the two sons, he offered to take any of it off our hands that I would let go. So I let go with a good sized section of the 8x8 can. And I had not taken down the one that I had gone even further with the experiment on, which I'm anxious to try. And that is stirring in a healthy amount of the jade green vines, guys.
Oh, good idea.
So what made me think of that was one of the bars that I used was called a superfood bar, and it had barley green in it, or algae from it, in it, I think from Klamath Falls Lake here. In Oregon. And I thought, my gosh, if they can put that into a bar, we can certainly put it into, you know, and they sold it for a long, long time. They've revised them now. They don't have it in. I'll have to look. I don't know whether it's in one. I don't think they've got one that's called a superfood bar. But I used it several times. I mean, I bought it by the box and carried it in my purse because I knew that it had a good combination. I mean, you could tell. It just didn't have the sweetness that the other ones did. And I thought, well, it's got to be more nutrition in this than the other one. So that was my choice. But anyway, guys, long ordeal this morning. Sorry. But it was on my mind.
Good info,
so
though.
We need to put the air unit. The bottom line is we need to put the air unit in our kitchen to get as much of it cleaned out as we possibly can. That's not venting it outside, but I know that it has to take a bunch of the stuff out when it goes through that air filter. And then we have to realize that it needs to be changed, cleaned out and or changed. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
it was good.
You're welcome.
We had two local restaurants that I just quit going to because you smelt like their food when you came out. Or it was smoky when they were doing stuff, so I just quit going.
Yeah, and you didn't even think, you didn't even much think about what you were inhaling as far as your health-threatening benefits, did you? I mean, I don't either. That's why this riled me so much. I thought, my gosh, here's a whole area that they're claiming could be that big of an issue. And, you know, when you're in the northern states and you spend a lot of the time indoors, I mean, my gosh. I'm going to make Denny read this one because of what he used to think he could throw into the stove to burn. And I would scream at him, and he would just go, "You're radical. You're radical. You know, that little bit isn't going to make any difference at all. There's a chimney there." And I go, "Look it. It's pouring out of the front of the stove." You know. So anyway, who knows what that has contributed, where we would be without it. So anyhow, you guys, outside boiler, I'm going to say. Okay, let's get the outside boiler idea going. Have a great day. Make it a healthier one. And get bold. Get bold. I don't say you have to do what I did, but by any means. But get bold and throw the stuff out there at people, and you never know what seed you might plant for when they hear it the next time or see something or notice something in an article or on the news, because these things are hitting the news, so we just don't know. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.